Hello? Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
Hi!
Shit's a giggles till somebody dies.
Welcome to the show. Sorry, it's been so long since I've been on here.
Becky's back, guys!
I'm back. I just threw lots of things on the floor.
Becky panicked as the music came up and just threw loads of shit on the floor. What is that?
My phone and some papers.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I feel life is chaotic.
Yeah, life is a bit chaotic. September has brought us absolute chaos. But you have turned 26. Happy birthday, Becky.
Thank you. Another year closer to death.
Yay. Happy days. Can't wait. Literally can't wait. Oh, so excited.
To die.
Pretty much. I know I'm not supposed to say things like that, but I can't wait.
But right now,
it's going to be so calm and peaceful. No, I'm not going to do anything, guys. Don't worry.
No, it's all good. But no, it's great to be back.
Yeah, welcome back to Deathly Funny Business. It's 5 p.m. on a Tuesday, which means we're going to talk about death with some really interesting people. Who are we talking to today, Becky?
Me and Jodie Wellman. She is the author of You Only Die Once, How to Make It to the End with No Regrets. That feels on topic considering today's conversation.
Yeah, we're already talking about wanting to end things.
Yeah, so she's going to tell us how death can bring you back to life.
Literally. The dream.
Yeah, she did. I watched a really good TED talk actually that she did, mm-hmm. and it was very interesting. It was about how we shouldn't wait until we've been given a terminal diagnosis
Amen.
To live life to the full.
Amen. I've been actually having this conversation a lot this weekend. Yeah.
God, where have you been?
Well, no, I just, for those of you who are following my love life, it's just a pile of shit. So I had to tell a boy this weekend, I was like, you understand that by you. Like being an idiot, we're like missing out on having really good time together. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay, bye. So that's been fun.
So he acknowledged that he was an
yeah,
idiot.
He's very much aware, but okay. It's just unfortunate, you know what I mean? So yeah, I've been talking a lot about like, I was like, do you realize like living in fear is like gonna fuck you up and subsequently like you won't have any fun.
I mean, that's
do you know what I mean?
What I think we've talked about doing ourselves for a while.
Precisely. And then on top of that, now we have Jodie coming in. So,
but I don't think people realise necessarily that they are living in fear. I think that's something
that she said.
It's about boredom and the fact that we're just not making the most out of life.
Well, I also think as well, if you're not confronted by death in the way that we've been or like had something like a terminal illness or something like that, I think often it can feel like it's not real. Like,
yeah, of course.
The end is not nigh.
No, well, no, exactly. And I think...
And therefore you just live like... Meh.
But I think I've gone back to that. And
do
only
you?
When certain like turbulent things happen in my life, I'm reminded of how fragile life is.
Yeah, but does that not make you want to do more exciting things?
It does, but my point is that I forget.
Okay,
even
that you forget.
Me, who's gone through losing my dad, I still forget. I have to bring myself back to that day and remind myself of everything that we went through and that I went through, because I think I've got to a point where I have processed it, that it sometimes I feel a bit far removed from it. I think we've spoken about it before when my dad's dead and I say it so casually, when that sentence carries a lot more weight.
But I think for me, I think personally, I think my thing isn't like having to think about mum again or like anything like that. It's not like I have to like remember why death is so specific. I think it's just like I just have this like awareness that like, oh my god, shut up, let's just have a nice time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And obviously that's like specific, but like, I mean, everybody's different. My microphone has got a fuzz on it.
Are you new to the studio as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been in that chair for ages and now I feel a bit funny.
Has it been pressing all these dials? You missed me.
Well, can I tell you something? Yasmin and Kieran have been on me. Oh no, actually it's been Hugh, our social media manager, Hugh, has been on me like flies on shit about me touching that damn microphone. I was like this.
doing it.
She's like, stop it. She's doing it now. No, I'm doing it for, like, I'm explaining, Yasmin, don't yell at me. She's looking at me funny from the little pod. Anyway,
can you tell me how much you've missed me now?
A lot. It's hard to do this without you, aren't I?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where were
I've
you?
I've missed you too.
Where
was I?
Becky took a long summer.
I just took a long I went to see my family, talking of family.
In Sweden.
And in Sverige. And spent some time with family.
Where are my special cookies or something? Do I not get like a little gift for being like, did you not bring like candy back to
the... No space in the suitcase, mate.
Okay.
No space in the suitcase. Did I say that my granddad got diagnosed with cancer?
Mm-mm.
No, so that was a bit scary.
Should we talk about that now?
Well, he's fine, like, that's now. It is important. So that was, I guess, one of these moments where I thought, oh shit, okay, I really need to make the most of life and make the most of spending time.
But I think
family.
You do. You know that, right? Like, I think you do. Like, I think I do. Naturally as a person, I think you're not necessarily like a person that like needs to be reminded. Like, you
I'm a yes
have,
girl.
But yeah, exactly. So I think that actually, like, a lot of the time you're already doing it. I think there are different personality types that I wouldn't put you in that, like, are a bit like me. Like, when, like, I think when it goes the other way, my instinct is to be like, meh, nothing matters.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel like you are already like very. Like, I'm going to have a birthday party and
yeah,
I'm going to have
I
a boyfriend
that.
And I'm going to go on holiday and I'm going to have the best time.
Yeah, which is great because it gives me loads of energy. But the counter to that
go ahead.
Is that I am so stressed and I'm living my life
on
stressed,
like adrenaline.
On adrenaline. I'm like, go, because there is so much happening. Obviously, the good stuff aside, but there's also lots of other things. Like, I'm moving. I've now moved.
It's because moved.
And that's been a lot to deal with in terms of, you know, having to kind of put on a brave face. But... Oh, I've got an update, but I don't know.
Oh, go on.
Do we have time for an update?
Yeah, loads of time.
So, antidepressants.
Welcome.
I'm coming off them.
Oh.
Which I thought was great to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, so I'm still on mine and you're coming off yours.
Yeah.
I've been on mine the whole time. And Betty's like, got on them
I'm
and
done.
Come back off. As we've been on the show and I'm like, hey.
This is really interesting.
I love it. Okay, go ahead. Have you been on? Do you want to tell the people? I think that's fine.
It's fine. I've been on sertraline.
Yeah, but Sames. High fives.
The reason... Well, this is really interesting. Well, I think it is. So I felt like I was living... how do I explain this? I wasn't myself during
these bubble.
Tablets. So about 4 or 5 months in, I started to feel really emotionless, which was great. It meant I could crack on and do things. but at the expense of being really cold and being really, I didn't care about life, actually. I didn't care about anything. And I just didn't really have much empathy, which is really unlike me. I didn't feel anything. And
it's all making a lot of sense now, guys.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't. I can't explain.
Okay.
I'm trying to work out how to explain it. Life was just life. And I was going about my day. And everything wasn't too bad, but it wasn't too good. So somewhere in the middle, which I think it just took the edge off, which is what it's meant to do.
Yeah.
And then I was having a conversation with a couple of people who were saying, you know, I think that I came to realise it myself, but with the help guidance of other people that I was coming across as not myself, maybe a little bit cold, a little bit emotionless. And so I decided to wean off.
Yeah.
And
what have they had you doing? Have they had you taking like halves? Like,
yeah. So right, I've been slowly weaning off them.
Nice. And how are you feeling coming off? Because that's interesting as well.
I just can't stop crying.
Okay.
Which is really interesting.
Fascinating.
So I'm just feeling really emotional.
Good to know, because I've been talking about wanting to come off mine.
For me, it's been great.
Yeah.
I think that I feel like myself again.
Yeah.
It does mean that my bucket is pretty fucking full, but it means that I'm Becky, I'm back, you know. I feel like I'm myself. I feel like I've got my empathy. I feel like I can connect with people. That was something that disappeared, was that I just found it really difficult to connect on an emotional level with people. And that's difficult when you're in a relationship and when you're, you know, got friends that you really really love and adore. And I just didn't like that feeling. So for me, it's been great. I'm still on them because I want to be. I don't want to drastically come off them and change things.
No, you can't. You mustn't
do that. But for me, this has been a really good decision.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that, like, everyone is different. Everyone's going to have different experiences on different drugs.
Absolutely.
And, like, I mean, like I said, like, I've been on them since January 23, I've been on the same dosage. And honestly, like, I don't see a world. I thought about coming off them, but only because I've had a week of therapy, like a session of therapy every week for the same amount of time now. And I feel like it's always quite important to say that if you can do therapy alongside antidepressants, that's the best way to do them. Because I think that especially the first 6 months, I remember being very like feeling funny. And I had 2 weeks of feeling very funny and then 6 months of really getting settled in. So I think that depending on like who you are, what your lifestyle's like, literally how you react to certain drugs, it can be different for everyone, but yeah, it's always worth giving it a go. And like, if you feel like it's something that you need, like I know that I wish I'd gone on them sooner, like before the, when I did.
But then that's what you say is that having a therapist is really important, because what they do is they do numb a lot of your feelings. So if you almost like lock that in a box.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because for me, I felt like it was a different way. Like I kind of, in my brain, what happened was, is that I felt everything was very overwhelming. I couldn't deal with anything because it was too much. Once I went on antidepressants and then therapy, whatever, I felt like it gave me the opportunity to talk about things in a way that didn't make me feel like I was going to die. Mm. Like, I was able to then talk about stuff that is really, really tough, but in a way that made me feel like, okay, I can unpack all of this. I don't feel like when I'm going to talk about it, I'm never going to breathe again. Because that was what it was before antidepressants.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have therapy and I just used to be bawling the whole session. But then now my therapy is very much more like a structured scenario where I'm like, cool, we're going to talk about stuff and it's going to be... Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I guess, like I said...
We're all different.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. And I think... but good for you, man. Well done.
Thanks.
Like, you've done it and it's helped you out in this way. And now you're ready to kind of... Come back to me. But honestly, like, on the contrary, like, I feel like more of myself than I did before. Like, I felt like I was when I was, because I also think as well, it's an interesting conversation about whether it's, you know, whether you're going to be the kind of person that reacts really well to an antidepressant, because sometimes it's just different, like.
And also making sure that you're being diagnosed correctly before going
on
them.
Yeah, I think as well, a lot like,
for
I
me
definitely
was to do
yeah,
with like was grief. To do with burnout and postponed grief almost.
For sure.
And so actually what I needed to do was just sit in that. Yeah, but unfortunately, life is crazy and we have to get on with things, and I physically couldn't do that.
Whereas I had clinical depression. So they were like, no, child, you definitely need the drugs. And I was like, okay, let's do that. I'll be fine. They were like, yeah, you shouldn't think about, you know, jumping in front of trains and shit. And I was like, oh, really? I thought everybody did that.
Oh, Natasha.
But this is a thing. But it's true. Like, at the end of the day, like, and I remember having this conversation with my dad of like, they put him on antidepressants really quickly. And he said that it really wasn't helpful for him and actually made things worse once he was doing stuff, like after mum died. And so, you know, it's different for everyone. And I think that, like you said, like, it's very specific about what it is you're trying to tackle, you know, rather than, fascinating. Do you feel like you've found different tools in your toolbox that instead of antidepressants, do you feel like there's a way that there's you've sauna?
No, I haven't. I think the problem is because I've been moving.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot going on.
Work's been a lot. I haven't had that outlet of doing those things which I normally love doing. But my outlet has been crying. And I was having a conversation with my boyfriend last night and I said...
Sorry.
I have a boyfriend.
I'm a child.
And I said, I hate crying. I felt like there's just so much there. And I just feel like everything's going wrong, blah, 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 blah. And he goes... But Becky, I think it's great that you cry. The whole point of you crying is, he said, you're emotional, and that is what, you know, Grace, is what I love about you, you know. And it was just like, that is part of my personality is the fact that I am quite emotional. Yeah. And actually, sometimes I think it's accepting that rather than being afraid of that.
For sure. And I think you actually end up crying less once that happens.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're like trying to stop yourself crying, you end up crying more.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, but then when you just kind of go, yeah, I'm just going to cry, you kind of like...
I feel great after.
Yeah.
I'm a new person. I mean, it's like, I can conquer the
world. Yeah, 100%.
Now.
You feel like you've had a nap. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It is like a nap.
Yeah, it feels like a nap.
It
anyway,
reminds me of being a child.
I think we have to go to a break.
We do have to go to a break.
I have to stop you. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm passenger driving.
I know. What is this?
Well, get out of my chair. You've been gone for too long.
All right.
We're going.
We'll see you after the break and we'll join with Jodie Wellman.
Bye.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this.
Yeah.
You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love him, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know, you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
Business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
Hello, welcome back to Death Funny Business. We are joined with Jodie Wellman, the author of You Only Die Once, How to Make It to the End with No Regrets, founder of 4000 Mondays, which is a platform focused on helping people live with intention and reduce end-of-life regrets. And also, you've done a TED Talk, How Death Can Bring You Back to Life, which has over 1.3 million views.
Whoa.
Can you hear us? Let's start with that.
I am so excited to talk about making it to the bitter end with you guys.
Yay!
Amazing. Love your energy. So nice to have you on, Jodie. I'm just thinking we can start with, can you summarize how death can bring you back to life? Because I just need to know this.
It would be like putting every episode you guys have ever done in a blender and pouring it over your favorite, you know, alcohol of choice. And then that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know it's counterintuitive, right? And like, this is kind of the notion, I guess, of all of your conversations. And it's only because, and I love the fact, by the way, as a nerd, that this is based in research. It's really only because our awareness that our precious lives are finite, that's what makes it valuable. So when we think about the fact that, damn it, I'm temporary. This party isn't going to go on forever. For most of us, we're actually not even having a party. We're kind of taking our time for granted. And it's the very thing that can snap us to attention and wake us up and realize, wait, like I have 1,740 Mondays left as of this week. I need to get down to the business of living. So it helps us. It heightens our appreciation and action. You know, do you guys find that?
100%.
We were chatting about this earlier. We're very excited to have you on. And we were saying how, well, for me, I've forgotten sometimes that my dad's died, and I've forgotten how turbulent that was and how it changed my whole perspective on life, because it's been 7 years. And I sometimes really need these like wake up calls or things to kind of make me feel alive. So I'm really, really intrigued to know in, I guess, mundane examples of how we can do this.
Mundane, you've hit on my magic word, because I think for so many of us, and I use the word wanting to live an astonishingly alive life, which doesn't mean it needs to look astonishing to people on the outside, because it is the mundane stuff that a life is made of. Like I think of it often, like all we're really doing is just living in like 10 or 15 minute increments at a time. Sometimes it's an hour if it's a meeting, or if you're listening to you guys, it's a 35 some odd minute. But all we can really ever do is embrace the fact that, okay, right now I'm on a break between my next meeting. How do I want to spend this time? Do I want to, you know, blow my head off and check emails again, which might need to get done at some point? Or do I want to do something sweet and simple? Like maybe it's going in the backyard and bringing out a cup of coffee and just sitting and taking a deep breath in and looking at a bird, and then coming back in and saying, wow, I have a new orientation to the next, you know, chunk of my life. So these are choices we can make that do sound, they sound too trivial. But again, when you stitch together a bunch of 20 minute increments, like there's your day. And it's just about oftentimes being more conscious to, while I get to be here and be alive, it's not always going to be a carnival. I mean, don't not go to the carnival if you like a carnival, but it's also about being intentional about these tiny increments of time we have.
It sounds like it's really about being mindful as well, which I think a lot of us struggle with, to take the, and it's interesting that you live your life. Do you really live your life in 10 to 15 minute increments?
It would be really exciting if I did. Actually, it would be maybe a little bit overwhelming. I am very mindful of that. Yeah. So, I kind of come from a background of working hard corporately, where it's like every 20 minutes, you're like, is what I'm doing right now going to lead to a sale? Or is what I'm doing going to lead to a result? When, oh my gosh, right now I'm like, is what I'm doing right now, or this next 20 minutes, like what could actually make it feel like a vote of appreciation for the life I'm living? You know, it again, it could be something super easy, right? Like acknowledging that it could be sitting and just watching bloopers on the YouTube on your lunch break, you know, rather than mindlessly, again, scanning through your work. So, yeah, I think it is just about, it's like having a sense of awareness about what you like, which in my research, it's really clear. Most of us as adults have lost the plot on the stuff that actually makes us feel alive and even happy. And we think it's the big stuff, like a giant vacation or something enormous that's going to really deliver on happiness. When again, oftentimes it's tuning in and saying it's something like tending to the garden or making a recipe that's new or planning a weekend excursion. Even just the planning can be exciting. Or maybe it is brushing the dog, you know, or what. So I don't know. And I get nosy. Like, is there anything you guys love that's sort of cheap and cheerful that you love to do that just makes life worth living?
Jigsaws.
Yeah, that's fun actually. Puzzles.
Love a jigsaw. Love a jigsaw.
I'm really bad at doing nothing.
Love a slice of cake. Love a slice of cake. Like I've made an apple crumb cake this week. Oh, yeah. And that has gone down a storm. And I've been really enjoying eating that. I'm curious, but do you have any?
No.
You don't have any?
Come back to
me. You do. Okay, fine. I'll come back to you. Your platform's called 4,000 Mondays. Jodie, and I just wondered if you could tell us like what, why Mondays and what that means, because I think it can be a little bit not completely sure about why 4,000 Mondays.
Is it because I hate Mondays?
It's confusing. And why would I choose the worst day of the week to name that after my company? So, well, 4,000 is roughly the amount of time we get to live on average. So there's that, you know, countdown timer already in effect. And then if I had said, like, let's go with, if I'd said 4,000 Fridays, like, that sounds amazing. Life's amazing. Even if those 4,000 are dwindling, life's good on a Friday. And, yeah. But that is not the point. Is I want Monday to be visceral and to actually ask us and poke us in the ribs and say, oh, but sweetheart, waking up on a Monday morning, are you interested to start your week? Are you delighted? Are you dreading it? Do you need to maybe make some changes? And so it's this wake up call in a way to, am I ready to embark on a new week of life with a little bit more excitement? And do I need to maybe switcheroo my job or life or eating or relationships or, you know, all the things we have in our life?
So as well, like you have also the book as well, and it's called You Only Die Once. Yeah. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how you came to write the book and what we can expect when we read it.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I made this the more readable and sweary version of a thesis I did in grad school. So I went to University of Pennsylvania for applied positive psychology. Mm. And I did my thesis on this topic of memento mori. And you know, you guys know memento mori. Yes. Is the Latin phrase that translates to remember we must die. Mm. And I, again, became so excited in the geeky way, like, wait a minute, this stuff is proven by science, that this thing called temporal scarcity, like when we're aware that our time is limited, it helps us appreciate it. Well, that's something. And so I made a giant thesis, which was super boring and academic. And I was like, no. I want to doodle the Grim Reaper. I want to make this something we can use. I want to poke fun at it and largely myself. And I want to swear and I want to have fun. And so that's where You Only Die Once. Like, guys, like, it's meant to be practical. It's meant to be super interactive. Like, I've seen people who have all the sticky notes and notes and dog ears and writing and the margins, and there's like areas to fill in. It's basically information that won't put you to sleep, I hope. Mm-hmm. Interactive to get you thinking and writing and basically by the end, I mean, my hope, there's a pre-mortem in the beginning, of course, and there's a post-mortem at the end, walking away with like action. Like, what do you want to do to make this life feel like you got to the end and you did it?
Let's talk a little bit about that. Like, how do you think you found your maybe change of mind or over this experience of writing the book, of writing your thesis? Have you found I knew you said you were doing corporate and that was a lot, and then we kind of moved away from that. Have you found a new kind of mindset?
Yes. Oh, what a good question. It's been up and down. And so, yeah, I moved away from corporate. I did my own thing for 12 years. And then in studying at grad school, this was what led to me starting 4,000 Mondays in this book. And it's been, admittedly, like, I'm writing it for, all the world, but mostly myself. Like, I need to be reminded to live. I am by nature a little bit more of a play it safe homebody that just wants to, you know, stay in and, you know, not really a total hermit, but almost a total hermit. And I feel like I need to be reminded to get up and out and make the most of my time. So it is therapeutic for my own sake. And, you know, I learned a lot of lessons along the way about the dream for me was writing a book and certainly making it the epicenter of what I do. And it taught me a lot too about like, oh, right, that's not going to deliver happiness. Like, I've had some of my own awarenesses of what is happiness. It's not based in sales. It's not based in, you know, PR hits. It's kind of like, quite frankly, it's like moments like this where we get to have conversations that other people might listen to and then be like, wait a minute, what do I want to do today to help feel more alive? So yeah, it's been eye-opening, but also quite frankly, like, look in the mirror instructive to continue with living wider with vitality and deeper with meaning, because I need it just as much as the guy next door.
For sure.
And how do you personally measure, like, if you've had a good Monday or a good day in general? Because I think that I will walk away from this and think, great, I'm going to have a sit down and think about how I can make the most out of my life. But then how do you then incorporate that and measure that?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that's so such an interesting question in the world of well-being, because most of us don't walk around assessing ourselves a lot. And when you do stop and analyze something, it's almost like staring at the sun. Like, it's like, I don't want to look at that too bright. We have an inner knowing, and let's not underestimate it. So I think that, like, for example, in my book, there are a bunch of little assessments that are fun to kind of get you in tune with. Do I feel alive, or do I feel like this part of my life is flatlined? Because there are all the domains of life. Like, you could be really rocking it at work and feeling good and energized, but you're maybe kind of aware that, like, your social life is cratered. or you're feeling a little, you know, dead in the health and physical department, you might want to start, you know, picking up the energy there. I know, me too. And so it's sort of like when you diagnose the dead zones, I call it, well, then you're able to stop and go, without taking your pulse literally like every 15 minutes, like, am I happy now? Am I alive now? Am I loving my life now? Because that's like a recipe to not like your life. But I think it's paying attention to that niggling, that sense that we kind of know deep down when we're squandering our lives, because that for many of us is just the default. We get into autopilot and we take life for granted. And again, that's back to my recommendation to count how many Mondays you have left, because that's the, oh, like, we're allowed to just get into that zone of autopilot for a while. It's protective and we need it. But like, I don't know about you guys, but I know there may be a few weeks where I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not really engaging. I'm not really participating. I don't really feel excited by my life, or even like, quite frankly, like proud of it. I'm not for other people, but for me. And like, I want to do something cool. Like I want to do an art project, or I want to have an adventure, even if it's just going to a new restaurant. So paying attention to the niggling about that desire inside you to just live a little more. And when you feel that, that's the instinct, or like that's the, oh, all right, well, maybe I will book a weekend away, or maybe I will plan something that's going to make me feel more alive.
I think I do the extremes of that. I love going on holiday, and I like doing I love a dopamine hit. Yeah. So for me, it's about anything that's going to give me that sort of like instant gratification. But I definitely need to get better at doing these sort of smaller, mindful, like taking these 10 to 15 minute increments and just looking at my life and thinking, okay, maybe I should just stare into my coffee cup.
Do you think you have any niggles?
Any niggles?
Yeah, like little niggles that you... Because I feel like for me, it's like... I definitely would say that like things that I leave on the back burner is like personal projects and like also maybe sometimes friends. Like I've been so much better, but like try my best to like make sure that I see my friends in a way that's like really proactive. And like I think for a long time, like I didn't do that because of feeling like grief or because of feeling like it's not worth it. So I feel like this is very resonating with me, because I feel like I've really worked hard to try it in the last few years of like trying to
make the most out of
life. and also trying to find those little things. I wonder, Jodie, if you found that oh blimey, my brain's gone. Oh, it's gone. The question's gone. Oh no. It was a good one.
If you're an
questions must die.
What about if you're an introvert? Like, you know.
Oh yeah, that's almost exactly what I was going to say.
Because I was thinking of you. Like, you're quite an introvert.
Oh, that's interesting that you would say.
Well, I'd say you're an introverted extrovert.
Yeah, like
introvert.
You meet me and I'm extroverted, but.
But you are a hermit sometimes.
Here we go. Becky's calling me out again.
So. No, but that's great. But that's where we're quite. We're similar, but we're opposite.
Yeah, because like you seem like the chill one in here, I think. But then when we go outside, you're probably the yes girl.
Yeah, I'm chaos. It's yes, and there's no mindfulness. And I think that I'm doing things to feel like I'm living my best life and living, but I'm actually, am I really sitting with that? And reflecting. And that's the other thing, is I think perhaps I'm on this, life is short, let's do this, this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
But I'm chasing the next thing instead of actually just, you know, thinking, how did that make me feel?
Yeah.
That's not a question. That was just like, I needed to get that out.
Both Jodie and I just needed to process that. I think that there's definitely I think that's a question of like, are you looking at the immediate gratification, or are we looking at the bigger picture? Jodie, would you agree? Is it more about bigger picture?
Yes. Yeah, yes. You may be. I'm not going to diagnose you. I'm not in a position to as a medical doctor, but I would say I have a quiz on my website and it helps you to determine what quadrant you're in. You may be in what's called a vitally empty category, which is about you're doing these things. And I like, by the way, how you're doing it, because that's better than sitting home and not doing it.
Yeah, for
sure. But it sounds to me a little bit like you're questioning, like, but is there enough meaning behind it in what I'm doing? Like, is it landing? Like, maybe it is staring back into that coffee cup. The opposite of that, by the way, would be called meaningfully bored. And that is where most people self-identify. And that is where it's like, I have enough meaning. I do feel kind of like it's landing, but I am so bored. Like, I need more excitement in my life.
Yeah, that's me to a T. I'm like, okay. I'm actually quite happy, but I just really fucking want an adventure so bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you. I think we've nailed your category.
We're literally like the opposites, but it's so cute. Anyway,
yes.
Do you want to tell us? Do you want to tell us the other categories? I feel like that's quite interesting.
Sure. Yeah. So this, by the way, has to do with living wider with vitality. So picture back in school, like that's your x-axis,
yep.
And then deeper. Living deeper, and that's associated with meaning.
Mm.
And so what, you know, we talked about meaningfully bored, got enough meaning, but oh my God, snooze fest. Talked about vitally empty. Yay, fun is being had. I am doing things. I'm at the cocktail bar, but I feel like maybe it's like empty shell.
It's so true.
There's the one where you're lacking on both meaning and vitality. And that is, unfortunately, that's the dead zone.
Mm.
And let's normalize it. Many of us find ourselves dabbling there or lingering there. But what we really want is called the astonishingly alive zone. And that's, of course, where we're anywhere, like just even a little bit positive on the vitality and positive on the meaning. So the fun and the deep stuff. So that's what we're really angling for. And it's the framework sometimes can be helpful to look at your life and say, like, at any given moment, where is it good? Okay, do more of that. Or where is it missing? Is it on the meaning or is it on the fun and adventure? Oh, okay. Well, all it ever is really is, what's one small thing I could do to just edge in that direction?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be a grand sweeping gesture. Cause I think, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to have like all or nothing thinking. It's like, I'm either going to be entirely healthy from now on or entirely not.
Yeah.
But like life isn't like that. Right. And sometimes if it's aware, wow, I want more adventure. That's cool. Well, what would be something in the next 2 weeks you could do that to give you the heartbeat again?
Mm.
And I'm actually being literal. Like what would be a thing you could do to add more adventure in?
Mm. Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I've been trying to go on dates, like quite actively, and being like, I'm going to date people, like, but like in a fun way. And actually going on dates with people, just first dates, and not putting any pressure on them, but then having a really good time. Maybe they're not the person that I want to be with, but they're definitely the kind of person that like, oh, I've had a really nice time and I've really enjoyed myself. And like planning things in advance as well. I feel like I'm really bad at like, I'm like spontaneous. So like if I suddenly want to do something and I realize I want to do something, I'm like, who can come with me? And then no one's available and then I don't do anything for another 2 weeks. And then I still don't do anything for another 2 weeks. But like trying to place in events has been really useful. Mm-hmm. What about you? Huh? Go on, Becky.
Can you answer that for me? Can you give me some help?
Oh my God, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You do go on holidays.
I do.
You do like
that.
A travel. You do your retreat and your breath work.
I do. Yeah, I do that. I do my retreats. I do breath work.
Maybe you need to go on a retreat.
Spending time with friends is a massive one for me. Exercise, I think. Like,
yeah,
makes
for
me
sure.
feel like I'm going to get this heart rate up. You know, literally making me feel alive. I think afterwards that dopamine hit and that adrenaline is like pumping, but in a good way, and I can feel that, you know, that's something that I can really feel and I'm excited by to.
It sounds like you have, because you are self-administering and planning all these things. I'm getting a vibe from you, as you've said, I'm not clairvoyant, it's kind of like out of your mouth,
do it.
You sound like you could use a little personal retreat. Even if it's a half day where you squirrel away in like the best hotel lobby you can find, you don't even have to pay for a penny and you're totally allowed to loiter in a hotel lobby and just sit around and do write some notes, do the pre-mortem in my book, like get yourself thinking about what makes you feel alive and what parts are feeling a bit deadening. And sometimes that awareness is just the simplest thing. Like awareness is the precursor to change, they say. And so then you're just going to tune in, right? And so it's the truth for either one of you and for all of us. It's just every now and then stopping and checking our pulse and seeing if something is feeling good, how could I do more of it? And if something's missing, that's okay. Let's not judge ourselves for it. Let's skip that drama and then just do something, actually plan something in your calendar to offset whether you're feeling bored or you want a little more depth and meaning.
And like, you know, how death can bring you back to life. Obviously, we've talked about death being inevitable for all of us. And I guess we're looking at that as if we've got quite a few years ahead of us. But I know that I believe that your mum died. How did that kind of impact this work that you do? And I'm also thinking, when you lose someone, and in those first few weeks, few months, few years, it's very difficult to see that there's any life ahead of you yourself, because you're so upset and you're grieving. Sure. So how does this work that you do fit into someone's life that's experiencing a really recent death?
Yes. Yeah, such good questions. Well, if I flash back to my mom's death, she died when she was 58 of a heart attack. And for me, the wake up call was about cleaning up her place and throwing away all of her dreams. So she had, she was so creative, and she had all these manuscripts for short stories, children's books, these illustrations. She had business ideas, business cards that she'd printed out. Like, she was so full of ideas, but not so full of action. And here I was turfing them out. And I call her apartment like it was the land of dormant intentions. And it was just super clear when she died, because it was all just concentrated together. And it made me wake up and go, whoa, like, I think I am like this too. I come by it honestly. And I thought, I do not want to get to the end and have a bunch of regrets about the dreams that I had that I didn't take action on. And so that is actually the big spirit of a lot of this, is if there is a desire you have, a goal, a plan, a dream, it could be tiny, it could be massive, all of them count. If you were to, you know, find yourself, unfortunately, on your deathbed tonight, would there be something you would be having a pang of regret for that you didn't do? And I want to be clear, this is about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, like the paths we didn't take, because that's an opportunity to course correct it. And I call them pregrets, because they're not regrets yet. They're regrets in the making. And we have a chance to take an action if you want to do that right now. Your question, which is really important, though, about when you lose someone, well, then you are trekking into the wilderness of grief, which is so, as you guys know full well, it's so incredibly complicated. And I'm always cautious, because I don't want to start putting on a cheerful little memento mori bow onto, like, oh, but don't worry, you know, this scarcity of life is going to motivate you to live with all this intention, while you are bawling your eyes out because you lost a loved one. That, I think, two things can be compatible at the same time.
Yeah.
I think we need to make time for grief, and I'm not going to pretend that, like, now's the time to put on the, you know, YOLO and Yodo shirt. Like, no, we need to really soak in our feelings about missing someone, and also notice, maybe simultaneously, there is an awareness that can happen when, especially when someone might die younger, that awareness of, like, whoa, what if I died at 58? Yeah. Like, I was a ways away from 58 when my mom died, but it was partly a, I want to be careful with my life. Like, I want to be thoughtful and not get to the end with a bunch of regrets. But I do think that we need to be so, so loving and take care of ourselves with, let grief be, and not be pressured to get out there and stuff it in frenetically. Like, I know I'm very energetic, and I know I'm exuberant with my message about, like, time's ticking, get on with it. But it is not intended to be frenetic, especially for those of us that really just want, like, a chilled night. And, like, that's loving life, is with a great meal and a great friend and a, you know, comfy environment. Like, that could be that's my version of a life worth living. So I just feel like, let's be careful with ourselves while being mindful that, okay, when you get out of this wilderness, you know, or just when the wilderness looks different and you have a little time and space, what would be a thing you could do to feel really alive and still miss the hell out of your mom or your dog or your brother, right?
Yeah, that's pretty beautiful.
I got emotional just then. Yeah. My little heart, it's beating. No, but I love that. It's so true. It's so true. Like, yeah, I mean, I've talked about this a little bit before, but I know that we were just talking before you came on, Jodie, we were talking about us both being on antidepressants and kind of coming out of the end of really big sadness. And I feel like I feel very emotional about being happy, about feeling this, like, desire for life and, like, and it being very excited about it, but also, like, very emotional about it and wanting to do it, you know? Like, I just feel like it's the first time in my life where I really, really wanted to do the thing of, like, life. So I think that it's really awesome that there's like a toolkit for, like, figuring that out. And, like, I think that's really interesting about, I've really connected with the idea of, like, figuring out which bits of your life need,
and it makes, for me, it feels like I, you know, you don't have to be stuck on this kind of rat race and adrenaline. I think for me, the message that I've taken is the fact that I just need to go and sit in a hotel lobby and just be mindful and be okay with that, and find out what it is that really kind of sparks joy, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I love it. And I can't stress enough, as I think it's been thematic in our conversation, that it doesn't need to be gargantuan, right? So like back to the astonishingly alive, doesn't need to be that we make this massive change in our lives of moving or changing a job completely or revamping our career entirely, especially when grief is in the way. It's like even just noticing, right? Like that's it. If it makes me feel excited to just maybe do like pick a brush off and learn that language I've been wondering about. And you feel kind of good about yourself that you learned 7 words today. Like high five, honey. Like that's showing that you are like, we basically show ourselves. It's about demonstrating. And in psychology, it's this notion, like just gently starting to show yourself, like I'm the kind of person who gives a shit about her life.
Yes.
Like, I'm the kind of person who maybe made a little bit of time to learn, or learn 7 words in Italian today. Or I'm the kind of person who I did stop and take the time to walk in a new neighborhood. And that felt like an adventure, damn it.
Yes.
And I'm the kind of person who does make time to text a friend from afar and just touch base because I was in a slump and I wasn't really reaching out. And now, oh, wow, that's what I do. And that's, it doesn't have to be impressive to anybody. It's just little small tentacles of life that you're acknowledging and honoring.
Well, Jodie, I hope you spend the next 10 to 15 minutes doing something very relaxing. We're going to spend the next 10 minutes of finishing up on the show, but it's been really, really lovely having you here.
Thank you so much,
Jodie. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and have a lovely rest of your day.
Oh, right back at you. Cheers to our aliveness, guys.
Cheers. See you all after the break.
Foodbar Radio.
What the Hell with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Up now is Ephraim Mason-Clark, professional footballer. You got the chance to work under Frank Lampard. Just tell me a little bit about him.
The first day he came in, it was just like, the word isn't starstruck, but it's just like, this is a legend in not just English football, but football in the whole world. So at the start, you know, it was more of like, wow. And then it's like, you just switch off from being a fan to, this is like the gaffer now.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
4 beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
One in 5 people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some Vineyards because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
She's stressing me out so much. My legs really hurt. I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm just doing a little stretch for those of you who can't see on the camera. I'm just stretching my legs.
So I've got something fun.
Oh, you here. Do? I had a feeling something was happening. What's going on?
So I actually do this when I write songs.
Oh.
Rather than saying, I'm happy.
Yeah, we're going to sing.
No.
Chica.
You look at something and you go, you describe an object.
Oh, interesting.
Instead, and it's about really noticing something to then apply it to what you were going to say initially. So I was just thinking about things to be mindful, you know, like sitting in a hotel lobby.
Sitting in a hotel lobby.
We're not saying it. I found some other things that we can do.
Let's do it.
Texture awareness.
Ooh.
If you're sitting, listeners, if you're sitting on a chair, notice the feeling of the fabric.
I like it.
The weight of your body resting, your feet on the floor.
Not on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, she's too short. But
yours aren't on the floor either.
No, they are.
No, they're not.
They are.
What the heck? Guys, I cannot tell you how far I am from the floor. Becky's got
feet. Can we come back to this, please?
Sorry.
Visual focus. Choose one object, a plant, a painting, a lamp, and spend a minute noticing every detail you can.
Okay. We're going to sit in silence and notice things about.
But it's interesting to feel how your body... How your body reacts to that,
this
isn't
is
it?
Great radio.
Sorry. Well, I'm hoping that the listeners will
do
it.
No,
point being, I think living life to the full, I've realised, isn't chaos. Bring it back.
Bring it back
to me.
Bring it back. Okay, amazing. Love it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes so much sense, lady. I love it.
I feel quite inspired by Jodie.
I think Jodie's a real sweet, sweet egg. And she feels like one of those people that, like, is being honest with you.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You know, sometimes you can kind of get that little bit of, like, we've talked about it before, but, like, toxic positivity. But, like, actually, she's like... Yeah, it's a bit shit, but sometimes, because she's got Cockney accent, Jodie.
She does now.
She'll love this bit of the episode. She'll listen back to her episode and she'll be like, why does she think I'm from East London?
Yeah.
But yeah, I am, no, as well. Very good. I'm learning to play the guitar.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I was just thinking and I was like, oh, what am I doing that is a bit more like, what have I been doing that? And I think I've subconsciously been learning how to play the guitar. And I've actually picked up the guitar like every day.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I honestly think it's been a bit of an emotional outlet for me at the moment, because obviously, okay, creative person, musical person. For those who don't know, my dad is also a semi-professional guitarist. Sorry, Dad. I should, like, we had many guitars in the house, should have learned by now. But, like, it feels like I'm doing something that's quite... I should have done a while ago.
Well, it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, and now, like, I am, and I don't know. It's like one of those things where it's just, you're just doing something, and I think learning something is really important as well. I feel like as a teenager, uni stuff and, like, all of that, I feel like when you're that age, like, you're like, oh, I never have to learn anything ever again. I'm so excited. Mm. I just know everything now. I don't have to do anything. And then you're like, oh, no, actually, it's quite fun learning things.
But then you're not activating your
brain.
Are
you going to learn anything?
Well, so
what have you been thinking about learning about?
So my problem is that
I'm really bloody good.
I know, I'm just full of fucking problems. I used to play guitar. I still do.
What do you mean you used to? You're not picking up the guitar anymore,
I haven't
Rebecca.
Played the guitar in about a year and a half.
Okay, we're going to have to fix that, because that's, to me, is like, it's kind of blasphemous. Like, I can't believe Becky Briggs is not picking up the guitar once a day.
This is what I mean.
What do you mean?
I'm scared to pick it up.
Okay, we'll do that together then.
Because I'm scared to play something and to feel emotion.
Yeah, you need to do that.
And I'm scared that I'll get frustrated because I can't remember how to play.
Yeah.
And guitar is, I guess, something that me and my dad used to do together. Yeah.
I think we found one of your niggles.
Oh, it's a niggle!
It's a niggle. I think that's where it is, Becky.
A niggle.
You just need to go and you need to look at it for a bit, and then you need to touch it and just hold it like a baby. Mm. And then tomorrow, you hold it like a baby again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day after, you just tap it.
Yeah.
The day after that, then you pick one string.
Yeah, just pick it one.
Just one. And then the day after that, two, three, four, five,
before you know
six.
It, I'm Led Zeppelin.
And yeah, before you know it, you're Jimi Hendrix. And
is that the right one?
Well, Led Zeppelin is a band, but sure, yeah. Okay.
Well, I meant I meant Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix isn't part of Led Zeppelin.
You know?
It's fine.
Oh my god,
I was just picking like famous guitarists. Anyway, more like Ed Sheeran. You're more like Ed Sheeron, I feel like. If you know.
Yeah,
you
no, loved I, it. I
you
say loved it.
You were a singer songwriter. You always loved that shit.
Yeah. No, you're right.
We have like 20 seconds.
I found
so
my niggle. I really
find love... yours, niggles.
Find your niggle.
Yeah, find your niggles, people.
What is your niggle? We don't have time.
We don't have time. I'm panicking now.
Thanks so much for a lovely show. It's great to be back.
Think about your lives, guys. Live life to the fullest, my dudes.
Yeah, but also remember that it's okay to feel emotion. Love you lots. Thanks for listening to Death of Funny Business.
FUBAR Radio.